This morning's sermon is called Follow Me from John chapter 1 verse 43 through 51 as we continue to go through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. As I mentioned before, the purpose of the Apostle John writing this Gospel is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, and by believing in Him, you may have eternal life in His name. John tells his story as an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. He was one of the original apostles. John wrote this gospel in his 90s, during the 90s AD. Jesus had already come and gone 60 years prior to him writing this book, and he remembered it as if it was yesterday. We read in our passage last Sunday that John remembered the day and the time when he fully surrendered his life to Christ and followed him from that day forward. He said in verse 39 of last week, it was the 10th hour. So he remembered the time that he fully gave his life to Christ. We also read in our passage last Sunday that John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard John the Baptist speak and they followed Jesus, and it says they remained with him for the rest of their life. These two disciples were the Apostle John himself and Andrew. They were the first two disciples of Jesus Christ, as recorded in his gospel. Then Andrew went and told his brother Peter. He said, "We have found the Messiah. Come and see." And this is how the kingdom of God advances, one bringing another to Christ. You notice the first thing that Andrew did? He went to his family and he grabbed his brother Peter and said, "We have found the Messiah. Come on, come see," one bringing another to Christ. John, Andrew, and Peter followed Jesus for the rest of their lives. Full surrender, full sacrifice, full commitment, which is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This passage and last Sunday are all about discipleship. During this time, Jesus was gathering his team for his earthly ministry. His earthly ministry had just started, and he gathered these three men, and we're about to meet two other men in our passage this morning that follow Jesus as well. I'll go ahead and read our passage and discuss it. Again, John 1. Verse 43 through 51. It says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said, 'Come and see.' Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit.' Nathanael said to him, 'How do you know me?' Jesus answered and said, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' Nathanael answered and said to him, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Because I said I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these.' And he said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.'" Amen. Let's take a look at verse 43 in our passage. Let's take a look at the Word of God. Verse 43 says, the following day. Now, for you note takers, this would be the fourth day. This would be the fourth day of Jesus' earthly ministry. Back in verse 19, which we went over prior, verse 19 was the first day. Verse 29 was his second day. Verse 35 of last Sunday was his third day. And now verse 43 is his fourth day during his earthly ministry. So it says, so then the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Follow me is a statement that Jesus says over and over and over in the Scriptures. We see this all the time. Follow me, follow after me, and I will give you true rest in me. Speaking of salvation, come to me, I'll give you true rest. You can rest in me, resting in Christ. So here's the next man to be added to the body of Christ in our passage, our brother in Christ, Philip. Jesus found Philip and said, follow me. These two words that Jesus often says in the Scriptures, follow me where there is forgiveness of sin, blessing, peace, joy, and eternal life in me. Follow me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Follow me. In verse 44, it says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So we know by Scripture, Philip was from the same town as Andrew and Peter, Bethsaida. It's a small town near Nazareth, where they all grew up in this area. It's in the northern part of Galilee. Bethsaida is nothing but rocks today. Jesus cursed this town because of their unbelief in him, which is in Matthew chapter 11. Every town that Jesus cursed to this day is rubble. In verse 45, it says, Philip found Nathanael. See, here we go, one bringing another to Christ, right? You see this, right? One bringing another. Philip found, right? Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael. That's how the kingdom of God advances, right there. Therefore, I believed, therefore I spoke. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. First, Jesus found Philip, and now Philip found Nathanael. Again, this is how the kingdom of God advances. Not by having a private faith, but sharing your faith. This is how the gospel advances. I believe, therefore I spoke. Now, just a side note, Nathanael is Bartholomew. John, the Apostle John, is the only person that calls Bartholomew Nathanael. Maybe because Bartholomew is a tongue twister of a name. So he says, you know, I'm going to change his name to Nathanael. So just so you know that. So when you read later on and you see that he's one of the apostles, Bartholomew, that's Nathan. But I like Nathan better myself. I don't blame John. Change his name. So it says first, Andrew said in our passage last week, he said, we found the Messiah. Now Philip said, we have found him of whom Moses, the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Two testimonies right here. Andrew and Philip. The Old Testament is filled with hundreds of prophecies of Jesus Christ. This is why they say, we found the one of whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. We found him. We found the Messiah, God in the flesh. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Come on, come see. One bringing another. True discipleship. That's what true discipleship means. One bringing another to Christ. True discipleship. Nathanael replies in verse 46 with this. Pretty strong words from Nathanael. It says, Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Ouch. Doesn't sound like he likes this town. Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see. Come check it out for yourself." Nazareth was a small village. Nathanael, as we can see, doesn't think much of this little village. Maybe it had a bad reputation. We don't know. But Nathanael shouldn't be throwing rocks because he's from Cana, which isn't much better. Just saying. But for some reason, maybe they were rivals. Two towns near each other. And in verse 47, it says that Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. All right, so Philip's bringing Nathanael to Jesus. Come and see the Messiah. And Jesus said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Wow. High praise from the Lord. As Philip was bringing Nathanael to Jesus, Jesus said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." You know what Jesus is saying? Here is a true Israelite, a true believer in God, in whom there is no deceit. Well, what does that mean? That means there is no hypocrisy, no phoniness. This is a true-hearted man, an honest man, a genuine believer, a genuine lover of God. Wow, high praise from the Lord about Nathanael. Now listen, does this mean Nathanael was perfect? No. Right? No, it doesn't. But he was a true, genuine believer in Christ, as we read. I have told you guys this before, and I want you to know this. Being saved does not mean perfect. It means progressing. Very important for you to know that as a child of God, right? We are progressing in our walk with the Lord, right? We are growing in faithfulness. We are growing spiritually. We are growing in God's Word. We are striving to become more and more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what saved means. Right? The scriptures tell us in Philippians 1:6, right? He, the Holy Spirit, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6, right? Jesus is saying in that, the Holy Spirit has started a work in you and will finish it. You can count on it. The Holy Spirit is preparing you for the kingdom of heaven from the day you surrendered your life till the day you stand before Jesus Christ and see Him with your own eyes. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is working out all things in your life and my life for His purpose, for His plan, and for His eternal glory. God is working it all out, right? And we know from Scripture, right? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Paul says, we know this. Not that we think. No, we know this to be true. So after Jesus said to Nathanael, this is interesting right here, after Jesus says to Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Let's look at Nathanael's response to this in verse 48 and 49. Look at Nathanael's reply. Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, Nathanael, before Philip called you, before he found you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. When you were down the road behind that red house over there under the fig tree, I saw you. Look at Nathanael's response in verse 49. Nathan answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael was saying, how do you know me? How did you know where I was? Jesus was like, not only do I know everything about you on the inside, I know everything on the outside. I know where you are every day. I know who you are. I know where you go. I know where you live. I know your heart. I know your thoughts. I know everything about you, Nathanael. Just like you and me. Just like he does you and me. I know everything about you. Everything you do. How much you love me. How much time you spend with me. The Lord says, I know. Nathanael was blown away. I've never met you. How do you know me? How do you know that I'm an Israelite indeed with in whom is no deceit? How do you know? How did you know where I was? He says, oh, Nathanael, I know you. I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Very powerful. At this point, Nathanael knew only God would be able to know this much about him and where he was. He knows. He had a conviction. Nathanael was convinced. He says, you have the same nature of God. Only God would know this. Only God would know who I am and where I go. Now, maybe this fig tree was down the road a little bit. We don't know. Maybe it was behind the red house. We don't know. I'm not sure. But God knew. Maybe this was a fig tree that only Nathanael went to. Maybe it was a private spot that nobody even knew about. Maybe you have a private spot where you like to go and pray and be alone with the God, with God, right? Maybe there's a place where you like to go and just drive to and park and be alone with God, one-on-one. Maybe this was Nathanael's spot under this fig tree. Nobody knew about this. Nathanael's probably thinking, how did you know? You're God. There's no other way. Very powerful. You know, God loves it when we get away with him alone. One-on-one, no distraction, just you and the Lord, alone, crying out to the Lord, thanking the Lord, giving praise. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you for carrying me through the fire. Now, how would I know this, that God likes that? Because Jesus tells us in the Scripture. Matthew 6:6. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Go somewhere private, Jesus says, and pray to your Father. One-on-one, no distractions. You and the Lord, fellowshipping. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for me every day. I couldn't do this without you. Thank you for providing. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for watching over my family and my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings. Maybe Nathanael was doing this. Let's take a look at what Jesus said to Nathanael in verse 50. Jesus answered and said to Nathanael, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Oh, Nathaniel, you are going to see greater things than these. My ministry has just begun. Jesus just started his earthly ministry right here. Oh, Nathaniel, you are going to see greater things than these. You believe me, Nathaniel, because I've shown my omniscience to you, right? God being all-knowing, he's omniscient. He knew exactly where he was. The fact that I knew you on the inside to be a true believer, I knew where you were. You believed? Oh, Nathaniel, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. This is just the beginning. And this is before Jesus even did his first public miracle, which we're going to get to next Sunday. So let's take a look at our final verse, verse 51. It says that Jesus said to Nathanael, "Most assuredly I say to you," which means you can count on this, "hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Oh, Nathanael, you haven't seen anything. Stick around, Nathanael. You haven't seen anything. When Jesus says in the scriptures, which we see often, "most assuredly, I say to you," or "truly, truly," depending on what translation you have, he means you can count on this. Hey, Nathanael, you can count on this. He says, "most assuredly, I say to you, you can count on this. I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Remember, these men were Old Testament believers. Okay? I don't know if you knew that. But these men that Jesus is collecting for his earthly ministry team are Old Testament believers. So Jesus quotes Genesis 28 to them. Right here. He says, "I know these men. They're Old Testament believers. I'm going to quote a verse from Genesis, and they will know what I'm talking about." Remember, in Genesis chapter 28, the ladder of Jacob, right? The ladder of Jacob about connecting earth to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon the ladder. This would have registered with them when he said this. These are Old Testament believers. If you brought your Bible with you, I want to share it with you. Turn to Genesis 28. First book in the Bible, just in case you forgot. Just kidding. Little brotherly love. First book of the Bible, Genesis 28. Jesus knew if he had said this, they would say, "Oh, yes. We remember Jacob." Genesis 28, verse 12 and 13. I'll let you guys get there. I love how the Lord brings this up because he knows they're Old Testament believers. He said, "Oh, I'm going to quote something from Genesis to these men and see if they are moved by my word." Genesis 28, 12 through 13. It says, "Then Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached the heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I will give to your descendants.'" Oh, so when Jesus quoted this, they would have been like, "Yes, we remember this from Genesis 28. And did you notice also what God said? "This land that you're in, I'm giving this to you. This is yours. That land belongs to Israel. This is God's chosen people and land, this is their land. He said, this land I will give you, your descendants. Promise from God to the nation of Israel. This is your land. I give this land to you. I promised your father Abraham. In our passage, Jesus was telling them, you are going to see heaven open, just like your forefather Jacob did. You're going to see heaven open up. You're going to see angels of God ascending and descending upon me. And you're going to see the power of heaven unleash in my earthly ministry. You're going to see it all. Nathaniel, you haven't seen anything yet. Oh, you are going to see some great and mighty things. Jesus also wanted them to know, and he wants you and I to know, he's the ladder that connects heaven and earth, and which we all must go through him to get into heaven. Amen? We only get to heaven through Jesus. The scriptures are so clear on this. He says, hey, boys, I'm the ladder which can connect you to heaven. Powerful passage. Powerful words from the Lord. Before I close and we take communion, because we still have communion, did you notice the different ways that Jesus gathers people to himself? Did you notice this is the end of chapter 1 that we've spent 7 weeks in. I told you we're going to be in the Gospel of John probably for the rest of the year. So if you're in a hurry, you better go down to Second Baptist, because we're going to be in here for a while. Okay? We're going to go through this word. We're going to break it down. And we're going to let God speak. If you're in a hurry, then I encourage you to buckle up. But I just go through this. I study God's word often. Michelle will tell you. I won't start my day without spending time with God and studying his word, speaking to me. And as I went through this first chapter, I saw the different ways how people come to Christ. It's not one way. It's not a religious system. You got to do this, X, Y, Z, then you're okay. No. No. That's not what the Bible says. There's no religious system we're going to go through. Come on. That's not what the Word of God says. You're preaching a different gospel. Here's the different ways. Just a couple I'm going to give you in this chapter 1. John the Baptist pointed out Jesus to Andrew and John. Andrew went and brought, right, his brother Peter to Jesus. Jesus, in verse 43, says, Jesus went and found Philip. Pointed, brought, and found. Different ways that people come to Christ. Some of us, someone pointed to Jesus to us, right? They pointed Jesus. Oh, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. You're only going to get to heaven through him. Some of us, someone brought us to Jesus. Come on, come with me. Let me tell you about Jesus, my Lord and Savior, right? They brought to church, brought to a Bible study, brought to a prayer group. They were brought. And some people, Jesus goes out and seeks and finds them and brings them in. Oh, three different ways right here in chapter 1. Jesus, it says, went and found Philip. It doesn't say someone went and got him. Jesus said, I found you and I brought you to myself. Hallelujah. Oh. All the different ways that Jesus gathers those who will follow him. Because Jesus knows who will and who won't, right? Jesus knows. He's all known. He's omniscient. He knows. He knows everyone that's going to come to him. He knows everyone that's going to reject him. And he gathers those who will follow him. It's powerful. So we have five men. following after Jesus. John, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael. And now they're going to take a three-day journey. They're down right now near Jericho by the Jordan River. They're going to take a three-day journey, 85 miles north into Galilee. It's going to take them 3 days. Remember, they're on foot. No cars back then. They're going 85 miles on foot. It's going to take them 3 days where Jesus is going to perform his first public miracle in a little town called Cana at a wedding. To be continued. Next Sunday, we'll see. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning, Lord, right into our hearts. Your word. This is your word, Lord. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.